This morning, we want to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 9. Luke, chapter number 9. We'll begin reading in verse number 23. I want to bring a message this morning that entitled, Christianity Without the Cross is No Christianity at All. When we do not have the cross before us, ahead of us, and that's the center part of our thought and our message, then we really do not have the message of Christianity. It's sort of like going to get a cup of coffee and it comes out of the coffee pot and it's clear. I don't know if anybody else has ever done that or not, but you're laughing. I understand why. You get everything ready, you put the pot on. I've got a little old 3-cup coffee pot. I'm the only one that drinks that kind at my house. Sharon drinks that hypocrite stuff called instant, and she does that. So I brew mine and got a little old 3-cup. And I got busy the other day. I put the water in it, and I put the filter, and the phone rang or something, and I just stuck it in there without any coffee, not thinking about that. I was like, come back a little bit later, turn the thing on, come back a little bit later, had my coffee taste buds all ready, and there it was, a clear pot of hot water. That's coffee without the coffee. And so this morning we want to deal with Christianity without the cross. And if there is no cross, there is no Christianity. That is the focal point, that is the foundation that we must build upon. In Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 23, the scripture says, "And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and in his holy angels." In Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross," and that word there is daily. "Let him take up his cross daily and follow me." Now there's two crosses involved in our Christianity. There is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon which we are very familiar with how the Lord died for us, died for the sins of mankind. We have verses in the Old Testament, we have many verses in the New Testament that tell us that the deliverer that was coming would be a suffering Savior. Isaiah chapter 53 tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities and the chastisement of his peace. And so we have the verses that tell us that when the Savior would come, he would be a Savior that would suffer the anguish and the pain of dying. Now his disciples had a lot of difficulty understanding this. The Lord had to teach them on many occasions that he was going to die. And Peter even said, "Lord, that will not happen. I'll make sure that does not happen." And his disciples could never really get it in their mind that he was going to die before the kingdom could be established. When we read in Luke chapter number 9, if you read the verses just preceding where we read this morning, you'll find it is an account of Peter's confession of who the Lord is. In verse number 18, you'll find that he tells us in this particular chapter, and the Lord asked, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And some say, "Well, you're Elias or Jeremiah, the prophet." But the Lord said, "But who do you say?" And of course, the most common understanding of Peter's confession It's not found here in Luke. Luke sort of summarizes it. Luke tells us that Peter answered and said that you're the Christ of God. In the other gospel, it said, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was his confession, and Peter knew exactly who the Lord was. But immediately after that, in verse number 22, Jesus foretells and tells Peter and the disciples, he tells us all of them, in verse 23, he said to them all, he tells them that he must die and that there was a cross that had to be borne by himself. So that's the first cross. The second cross that is very active in the life of a child of God is this cross that you and I must bear. Now, there will be no Christianity as such if Jesus had not have died. If the Lord had not have gone to Calvary and had not have died on the cross of Calvary, then there would be no such thing as salvation. There'd be no such things as what we know of this morning as our Christianity. But there is also this other cross that's very important. And this is the cross that the Lord is telling them, not only about his dying, but about them dying to some things in their life. In Luke chapter 14, verse number 27, the scripture says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The word disciple there just means follower. It means one that has been taught or discipled by the Lord. And here Jesus tells these disciples that if we will not bear our cross, then we're not worthy. We cannot be his follower. We will not be the one that is taught by him to be disciplined in the things of the Lord. Doesn't mean we can't be saved, but we're just not following the Lord like we should follow him. And so he's dealing this with this subject of Christianity without the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ had much to say about discipleship. Much of the New Testament deals with this subject of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a follower of the Lord. He spoke often to his disciples, his followers, concerning the essentials of sacrifice and self-denial. That Christ was certainly aware of his soon coming personal sacrifice, bodily sacrifice that he was going to make to die for the sins of the world. It's a personal cross that we must bear. The Lord made it abundantly clear that there could be no Christianity without the cross. The philosophy of our modern time, this sort of goes along with what Brother Gallagher was speaking this morning, out of the book of Isaiah. But our concept today, our modern religion, if you want to call it that, is sort of a new brand of Christianity. It's a new style of sort of that we would think of worshiping or trying to serve the Lord without this sacrifice that is a essential. We find that this new philosophy of a Christian life strives to eliminate the suffering of a personal cross. I want to be like everybody else, but I want to be a Christian. Well, if you want to be a Christian, you cannot be like everybody else according to the Word of God. There is a difference. There is a change that takes place. So this new philosophy of the Christian life is a kind of practice and preaching that de-emphasizes the repentance that is talked to us and given to us about the sin in our life, and we can just make a decision and we feel better about ourselves. We've turned over our new leaf and we're going to redirect our lives. How many times I've heard that in these last couple, 3 years. We're going to redirect. The Lord doesn't redirect us. The Lord saves us and gives us a new life and gives us a new home in heaven. And so this cross that is a symbol and an emblem of death, it stands for an abrupt end to life. In the Roman government, when a man had been condemned to die, and he knew that Rome, their form of execution, was the cross. And he realized that when that was placed upon him, that was going to be an abrupt end to his personal life upon this earth. And so we're talking about this cross that Jesus went to when this Roman man would take up his cross and start down the road toward the place of crucifixion. They always usually carried their own cross. That's why Jesus carried his cross. That was the style and the mode that they were carrying their way of dying. And as that individual would go down the road and started his pathway to the place of crucifixion, he had already said goodbye to his family and to his friends because he knew there would be no reprieve, there would be no coming back. It's pretty simple to understand he was going to die. He was not going to make it his way back. The Bible tells us in John chapter 12 and verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." And so there's a process of living and dying and reproducing. For the Lord says, "But if it die, it bringeth forth much, much fruit." The Lord Jesus Christ certainly gives us new life. Thank God this morning we can probably all go back to a particular time and place that the Lord gave us new life. He saved us. That's a good biblical term. Don't be ashamed to say, "I am saved." You haven't been redirected, you've been saved. You haven't been changed in your direction. You haven't turned over a new leaf, but thank God you've been converted. You've been biblically saved. The life that now he offers comes only out of a death. And first of all, it's his death. First of all, it's his dying upon the cross of Calvary. Secondly, it comes from our dying to self and to the things that are that allures us and the problems that come before us. Sometimes we have to die unto those things. So if there is no cross, as we hear so much and we talk so much and listen so much to the news media and the different medias of giving information, there's not a whole lot said today about Christianity. There's a whole lot said about religion. There's a whole lot said about different groups of people that have their ideas, but I'm talking about truly born-again people of God. There's not a whole lot said about us, and if it is, it's usually in the negative. They don't want the cross. The world this morning does not desire the cross. If you put up a cross down here on public property that is owned by government, you probably have that cross taken down somewhere sometime because they hate the sight of a cross. The world and the devil that has his world that is active in our society and active around the world, he despises what the cross represents. He despises what it means. They don't even want a cross that's been up for 100 years. They want to take it down and destroy and put something else because that cross is offensive to the ungodly. It is offensive to the unbeliever because it represents in their heart, they know what it represents and they rebel against it. They do not want life. They do not want God. And so if there is no cross this morning, I'm here to tell you there is no such thing as salvation. There would be no salvation for you and no salvation for myself and our loved ones and our friends and those that we have in our family. The salvation of a lost sinner would be totally impossible without the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope for mankind is the Lord. The only hope that we have this morning that we can escape the judgment of hell individually is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. For when he was hanging there on that cross, he said, "It is finished." The work of redemption was complete and nothing can be added to it. There's nothing else that has to be done. There's no more lambs that have to be slain. There's no more priests that have to offer the offerings and the blood on the mercy seat. That's all done eternally, forever in heaven by the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished, thank God. But if we have no cross, We don't have salvation. Through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would just for a moment, turn over with me to the book of Colossians in the new, just a few chapters, few books over from where we are, the book of Colossians. The Apostle Paul, here under the inspiration and the writing of the Holy Spirit, he tells us what we have through this cross, because of the cross. And we found in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Notice verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of" what? "His cross. By him do reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be in things in earth or things in heaven." We have peace with the Father. This morning, because of the Lord's cross, I have peace with God. I'm no longer under the wrath of God. I'm no longer an alien from the commonwealth of the Lord. I'm no longer a stranger or a foreigner. I have been placed in the family of God, and we have a peace with our Father because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a missionary. Sometimes I get convicted by reading some things that other people talk about and what they write about. We have a missionary that every time I get his letter, I really get under conviction of how I feel about God. Now, God is that person there in the heavens that we know is our Father. We know that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus died and put us in relationship, gave us peace to the Father. But when I read the missionary's letter, and I got it just this past week, he writes about, "My Father has directed me to do this." He doesn't say God, he says my Father. He makes it a very personal relationship. You know what? It is a personal relationship. As I read his letter and as I saw all those words, not one time did he talk about God. Not one time did he use the term God. But he used the term Father over and over and over again. And he said in a very personal way, he writes as if he's talking about his earthly father. And that just sort of gets me under conviction, because he is my personal father. He is our God. He is our Father. He is the one that has birthed us into his family. And the missionary talks about my wonderful Father. And over again, he puts descriptive terms about things that our Father does for him. And he closes out the letter and he says, "I pray that our Father will bless you as he has blessed me." Man. That is a very personal, and every letter that I get from him, it's that personal relationship that he feels and portrays very strongly in those letters. For he is our Father. He's not just a God out there that we don't know. He's not a power or a person that is over everything. He is our Father. That's why when Jesus gave the disciples a pattern of prayer, he said, "When you pray, pray this way: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed or holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And these things that we have, he is our personal Father. And if we had no cross on which Jesus Christ, his Son, you see, Jesus Christ is his Son. I'm a child of God. I'm a Son of God, but it's only through the relationship that I have with his Son, our Father's Son, that we can go to heaven. And so we find that if there is no such thing as the cross, then we do not have salvation. There is no peace with the Father. I'm glad this morning, as a Christian, as a believer, I can say I have peace with my Father. No longer am I under his wrath. No longer am I under his judgment. No longer will I have to suffer and die and go to hell and pay for my sins eternally. No longer is that available in my life, because he's my Father and I have peace through his name. In Colossians chapter number 2, If you would, look in verse number 13, verse number 14. Colossians 2:13, and says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." Verse 14, blotting out. Notice here, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. You know what that is? That's the law of Moses. He has blotted out those laws that thou shalt and thou shalt not. He has put us in relationship with himself. And so here in verse number 13 and verse number 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. Somebody says, "Oh, I'm going to live by the Ten Commandments." Well, if you do, they're against you. They're not going to help you. They're not going to give you any peace. They're not going to give you any rest, because they're there to show you that you're a sinner without God. The Lord didn't give us the commandments in order to go to heaven. The Lord gave us commandments so we know how to live, how that we can respond to certain things. But there's no saving power in the ordinances. And Jesus on the cross, he blotted those things out. He erased those ordinances that were against us. The law said you have to die. Jesus said, "But I tell you, you can live. Thank God for life." And so we have the law that has no longer has the power to tell us that we die. He says it's against us. Verse 14 says, "Which was contrary to us." Who in this building this morning has not lied sometime in their life? Who in this building has not stolen sometime in their life? Who in their, you take all 10 of them, who in here could say, "I'm not guilty of them"? No, they're contrary to us. We can't live by them, and they're there to show us there's only one that could do that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. They were contrary to us and took it out of the way. Jesus took it out of the way. And then it says, nailing it to his what? Cross. Praise the Lord this morning. We have not only peace with the Father, but we have pardon for those of us that have fallen into sin. That's every individual. Colossians 2 and verse 15, the next verse. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Thank God this morning there is punishment to the foe and we have victory. That's why we can sing the songs in our songbook. I heard an old story, and the song says, "Victory in Jesus." It's all because there is a cross. If there is no cross, then there is no salvation. You might remove it from every cemetery in this world, but the cross is still an emblem of the Lord dying on that tree to give us life. You may remove it from every government building, every government property. You may take it off of the highest hill. You may destroy all of them, but you're not going to destroy his cross, because that is the cross that's given us life in our personal being. So if there's no cross, there's no salvation. Thank God there is a cross. Secondly, if there's no cross, there's no substance to life. There's no real anything we can get a hold of. The modern religion is looking for a purpose and satisfaction in every avenue of life, trying to bypass the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In their ministries, in their material things, that has become the focal point of their lives, and sometimes even the church's life. Houses of edification have become halls of entertainment. Most churches this morning, you go to see what you can see. You go see what you can feel. You're going to feel better. You want to have some excitement. You want to have all those. That is not worshiping the Lord. Most places is they practice and practice and practice to put on a production on Sunday morning, and they go from that time to the next morning, Sunday morning, to try to produce something else to make you feel good. The cross is an offense. And sometimes the preaching of it does not make us feel good, but it can make us believers. I'd rather have a wrong, sorry feeling about my life and die and go to heaven as to feel good and die and go to hell. And so we find here that there's no substance of life when the house of God has become a place of entertainment. The sad reality, it leaves the natural man just as empty when he leaves as he comes in. No substance. The only place that man can find true substance and lasting joy is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through that cross, we have eternal liberty. Thank God I'm free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again." That means that one time we was entangled. That word "again" means we've been there. And so he says that we be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Sin that drags us down and breaks us low and makes us have sorrow and terrible thoughts in our heart and our mind. We just can't go on. We're under a great load, under a great bondage. Paul says, don't get entangled in that mess again. We're free. We have liberty. We have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can a Christian get entangled in the yoke of bondage? Yes, he can. The cares of this world and the cares around us and the problems that we face and the tears that we shed and the dark hours of the night that we cannot sleep, we can get entangled in bondage and we can almost in despair throw up our hands and say, what's the use? And Paul warns us, don't get entangled in that, because we have freedom. We have liberty. We have life. We have the Lord. It's an eternal liberty. It says that has made us free. It's an endless love, whereby perceive you the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That is 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. 1 John. And so we have an endless love from the Lord that he laid down his life. Now there's something in return that we need to do. And the verse says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That means if need be, we go to bat for those that we know that are Christians. That means we fall in line. That means if we have to, we stand with them. That means that we lay down our very being for those that are called Christians around us. If we don't do that, we have a Christianity that's weak and watered down, or maybe nothing at all, like that coffee that has no coffee. Endless love he gives to us. And of course, John 3:16, we have everlasting life. Have a life that never ends, never goes out of existence. We're living. A cross, a life with no cross is no salvation. It's a life of no substance, nothing that's real. It's like a boxer that's fighting the air. He hits nothing. It's like that one that's training and he's training in the air and there's really no resistance to that, no substance. If we don't have a cross, if we don't bear our cross, then we're fighting the air. There's no substance. And then lastly, and we don't like this part. I would like to leave this part out. I believe I could go home and say, thank God, I have everlasting life, and ask the Lord to bless our day and go home and eat our dinner and say everything's well. Be good to stop there. But there is no Christianity without suffering. No cross, no suffering. The fundamental reason why most people reject the idea of the cross is the suffering and the shame that surround it. When Jesus was carrying that cross, that was a shameful thing for him to go up to Golgotha's hill. Sometimes in a group of people that maybe are not church people or not Christians, and especially family members, it's sometimes very difficult to stand for our Christianity because they look at us And along with our cross that we have, that we bear, comes a shame and a reproach. The hardest people that I have ever tried to deal with are people that are in my family. It's difficult. Because they know you. They know all the ins and outs. They know your weaknesses. They know your sins. And they say, boy, if that's a Christian, who wants that? And sometimes that makes it very difficult. But the reason most people don't want to portray the cross is that suffering that comes with it. And you and I here in America, we have no idea what suffering is all about. But the cross is offensive to those that do not know the Lord. It remains a controversial symbol today, as we've talked about. Sinful flesh hates suffering. Now, who of us this morning would sit here and when we have our final prayer, whoever words that prayer and we are praying in our heart and our mind, who of us in here this morning would say, Lord, would you please help me? Would you please make me suffer today? We're not going to do that. I don't like suffering. I don't like pain. I don't like to go to the doctor because I know sometimes there's pain. I don't like to go to the dentist because there's always pain. We don't like the pain that is inflicted upon us spiritually because of the cross. And we're not going to pray for suffering, but the suffering is there. And our flesh that is not born again yet, my soul has been saved, my life has been saved, but my flesh is still flesh. You hit me, I'm going to probably hit you back. That's the response of the flesh. For every action, there's a reaction. And sinful flesh does not like to suffer. Well, we don't even like to go 30 minutes over dinner. We think that's suffering. Oh, if we don't eat for 2 hours, we're dying. So we don't like suffering of any kind. But especially when it comes to the things of the Lord, the flesh would much rather enjoy, as Moses, he said, the scripture says in Hebrews that Moses chose the affliction of God's people, the suffering of God's people over the pleasures of sin for just a season or a little while. But our flesh doesn't want the suffering, it wants the pleasure. No believer in his right mind would pray for suffering. It's going to come. We don't have to pray for it. So we don't desire it. Suffering produces things in us that we don't necessarily like. Suffering produced in the Lord's life, it produced desertion. If you look in Matthew chapter 26, verse 55, 56, somewhere through there, it gives you, in that particular area, it gives you the betrayal of Judas and the arrest of our Lord. And then the Bible says, and all his disciples forsook him. Why? Because they saw the suffering. They saw Jesus had been arrested. And if they're going to arrest him, they're going to probably arrest me. So I'm leaving. The Bible says, verse 56, and all his disciples forsook him. They deserted. The Apostle Paul talks about John Mark. He loved this world, and he's no longer with them. So it's desertion. If you read Matthew 27, it's a continuation of the story of the crucifixion of the Lord. All of those around the cross, there was derision, there was problems, and there were statements being made deriding the Lord or antagonizing the Lord Jesus Christ as he was there on the cross. And then, of course, there was death. We don't like that. But if we have a cross, then there will be suffering. If we have a cross that we must bear, then there will be a suffering time. It might cause us to desert. It might cause us to have derision. It might cause us to wish we were dead. It might cause all those things in our life. And therefore, we don't want suffering. It's a pain. Jesus spoke plainly to his disciples about the necessity of self-denial. It's a human process. Self-denial. I guess maybe we can identify, or I can identify with some things maybe others do not. When we deny ourselves, that means there's something up here that we really want, and we say, I'm not going to do it for the betterment of my life. Not too long ago, there's a year and a half, 2 year period that we did not go out anywhere to eat anything because I was determined I was going to lose that weight. Did I want to eat a hamburger? Did I want to eat ice cream? Did I want all those things? Sure. But if you're going to get the accomplished desire, then you say, no, I've lost some of that. And we do after a while. We have to get back in that mindset. But when it comes to our Christianity, this world allures us all the time. The bright lights of the world is there. And if we're going to be effective for the Lord, then we're going to have to say, no, I can't. I will not do that. I will not. I will not. I will not accomplish that in my life. I will deny something that this flesh wants or something that this heart desires. I'm not going to do that because I'm a Christian and it's not right for me to do that. Too many times we are not too good at that either. There's a pain that comes with bearing a cross. Our pride must be defeated. Our pleasures must be denied. And we just can't worry about what anybody thinks. Our popularity is not important. What does somebody think about me? It doesn't matter. What does God think about me? What does so-and-so, what does my family member think? Well, they're just going to call me a holy Joe. They're just going to let them think what they want to think, but be right with God. Amen. Just be in step with the Lord. Thank God for the promise if we suffer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. That means we're going to rule and reign with Him. That means we're kings and priests. So God's people need to carry their cross. They need to cherish the cross. They need to cling to the old rugged cross. Because that cross is what produces Christianity in our life. His cross makes it possible for us to be saved. But our cross that we bear and cling and hold to and present to the world is that cross that they see of what Christianity is really all about. What do they see when they look at me? Well, that's a hard question. What do they see when they look at me? They need to see us clinging and carrying and cherishing the old rugged cross. I do not mean put a cross in your front yard. I do not mean wear a cross around your neck. I don't mean that kind of cross. But being willing and being able to just be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. A servant, a bond slave. Someone that says, thy will be done. May God help us to realize if there is no cross, there is no Christianity. Let's stand this morning.